A wave of nausea hit Lieutenant Coyle as he left the dim confines of the Medicare tent, and he staggered, gripping onto the tent pole with a palsied hand as his stomach cramped in sudden, twisted pain. The air was hot and noxious, a bitter, acidic taste catching in the back of his throat, and the bright sunlight made his eyes water painfully. He shaded his eyes with his other hand and stared upwards, seeing yellow clouds like infected lungs and the swirling, unnatural sky beyond them as a diseased red. It had been like this for the last 6 days, ever since the Tyranids had come.
"Sir?"
asked a voice behind him, and he tore his gaze from the evil skies, turning to see Edgar, their medical officer. Though, in truth, he was little more than a young recruit who had assisted the trained medical officer before he had been dragged, screaming into the sky by a Tyranid gargoyle.
"What is it, son?"
asked Coyle.
"I really don't think you ought to go back out, sir. You're in no shape to fight."
"I don't have a choice,"
said Coyle.
"Who else is going to do it?"
"You'll die if you try and fight today," said the young recruit.
"Son, we're already dead,"
snapped Coyle.
"Fighting's all we have left."
Edgar shook his head slowly.
"The Emperor protects. We'll be all right."
Coyle bit back a venomous reply and simply nodded.
"Aye, the Emperor protects."
Turning on his heel, he left the young man to his dreams of rescue. He limped through the compound, a slick of infected blood seeping from the bandage around his thigh where a hormigaunt had slashed him. He saw Turles, his Voxman, cycling through the channels on the caster to try and raise someone. Anyone. But Coyle already knew it was hopeless. There was no one left alive on Coriolanus. They were all that was left. Perhaps 200 wounded, hungry, and exhausted men and women. As Coyle painfully climbed the rusted iron ladder to the walls, he scanned the defensive zone, dotted with small clusters of soldiers speaking in haggard voices, so tired they could hardly stand. Some were gambling, an edge of hysteria in their infrequent laughter. Others were hunched over, writing letters to loved ones that would never be read. Many were huddled under rags, trying to snatch some sleep, or rocking back and forth as the desperation of their situation sank in. He had not lied when he spoke to Edgar. They were already dead. They just hadn't lain down yet. Coyle leaned awkwardly on the wall head, its plasteel structure blistered and melted where corrosive alien poisons had eaten it away. It burned to the touch, but Coyle was past caring as he looked out over the blasted landscape before the fort. What had once been a dusty, arid plain was now a perverted landscape of grasping alien fronds and tall organic chimneys that vented a toxic miasma of spores into the hot air with grotesque internal spasms. The rusted hulls of gutted Chimera and Lehman Russ tanks littered the ground, corroded almost to ruin, and infested with loathsome red creepers and mosses. They looked as though they had been there for decades, though it had only been 2 days since Commander Lyerton had led the attempted breakout. The previously open killing ground was now alive with tall grass and oozing alien vegetable matter that had sprung up in the wake of the Tyranid horde. Flamer units had tried to keep the area before the walls clear, but when it became apparent that the unnatural flora grew back just as quickly, he had ordered them to stop. The precious promethium would be better served by killing Tyranids. He heard a hacking, wet cough from nearby and saw a pair of guardsmen tending to the recumbent form of Commissar Bryant. The black uniformed figure had once been the terror of the Bellis Corona 55th, a giant of a man who seemed impervious to the weapons of the enemy, and put a fire in the bellies of the warriors around him with his impassioned oratory and blazing pistols. But now, the commissar's skin was pale and blotchy, and his tattered uniform hung from his gaunt, wasted frame, barely strong enough to bear the weight of his own limbs. He coughed up black, foamy wads of what Edgar had told him used to be his lungs. All the men were suffering from the effects of microscopic organisms carried on the fetid air. Rashes, sores, blistered skin, and burning eyes. But Bryant had suffered the worst, his legendary reputation no protection against insidious alien poisons. He turned away as he heard a shout from further along the wall, his blood surging around his body as he made out the words of a pointing guardsman.
Incoming! Tyranids!
Coyle shaded his eyes and looked into the sky once more. Undulating black clouds drew nearer, moving against the wind, and Coyle knew that this was it. This was the end.
Stand to!
Shouted Coyle, shucking his lasgun from his shoulder and checking the magazine. Full, but he only had another three charges.
Every man to the walls!
Even as the cloud of monsters dropped towards them, he could see the tall grasses before the fort ripple with frenzied movement. In the distance, towering monsters stamped towards them, shrieking cries rasping from bony plates around their fanged jaws. Before them, leaping, bounding creatures with scything claws and chitinous carapaces screeched as they swept towards the compound in eerily coordinated waves.
Mark your targets and fire at will!
Shouted Coyle, though he knew that against such a numberless horde, there was no way to miss. He raised his lasgun and fired into the mass of creatures, hearing the heavy bark of the quad-barreled Hydra batteries as they opened up on the flying gargoyles. Las fire spat from the walls, each shot punching through the body of an alien monster, but Coyle could see that it wouldn't be enough. Even if every guardsman's shot hit and killed one of the Tyranids, there would still be thousands left to finish them off. He kept shooting, aiming for the largest creatures, hoping to disrupt whatever control they might have over the smaller ones. The charge indicator on his lasgun flashed red, and he dropped to his haunches to reload when a spray of emerald green slime impacted on the wall beside him. Men shrieked in agony as they were engulfed in the ooze, and Coyle cried out as hissing droplets of acid burned his skin. Screaming men dropped from the walls as flesh sloughed from their bones, and Coyle recognized Turles, the Voxman, collapsing in a boneless heap. The screeching of the horde was deafening, but even over their inhuman cries, Coyle could hear the clanging of their claws against the wall as they climbed. He rose to his feet, shutting out the stench of burned flesh as the first of the Tyranid organisms reached the ramparts. But time suddenly slowed as he looked down and was met with the soulless gaze of a ravenous beast. Its hissing head was utterly alien, ridged and gnarled with a hard, glossy sheen to it, its eyes dead and lifeless like a doll's. Its jaw opened wide in a screech of alien malice, and Coyle could see that its mouth was filled with row upon row of jagged, razor-sharp fangs. He thrust his lasgun between its teeth and blasted the back of its head off as yet more scrambled to the ramparts. The wall shook as a pair of giant carnifexes with enormous crushing claws smashed into the gate, and Coyle was hurled backward by the impact. He climbed to his feet as a hissing Hormigaunt landed beside him, and he kicked out, feeling fangs break beneath his boot heel. The creature skidded away, but another leapt over it and plunged its claws towards him. Coyle leapt backwards to avoid the disemboweling sweep, stepping onto thin air as he fell from the embattled ramparts. He slammed into the hard rockcrete of the compound floor, crying out as the breath was driven from him by the impact and from feeling his ribs shatter within. He tried to push himself upright, but a searing pain flared in his chest, and his breath caught as he realized that at least one of his lungs was surely punctured. Screams of dying men filled his senses as he watched the ramparts swarm with alien bodies, long, curving, organic blades slashing his soldiers to pieces. The gateway bulged inwards as a massive claw punched through and began ripping it down. Coyle coughed up a spray of hot blood as he heard an immense groaning and felt the ground beneath him heave upwards. Letting out a yell of pain, the lieutenant dragged himself away from the shattered surge of rockrete, crawling himself to nowhere. For nowhere in this hellscape could possibly provide him with salvation. Spurts of grey choking dust billowed upwards from the great wound in the earth before him, and Coyle watched as a serpentine creature hauled its glistening bulk out from the labyrinth of pulsating tunnels, shuddering beneath the ruined streets. Chitinous claws unsheathed from fleshy folds in its ridged carapace, and it emitted a terrifying screech as yet more bulging cracks reared upwards from the ground. Coyle reached for his pistol, but he couldn't even grasp its handle, for the beast was already on him, tearing apart the dying lieutenant in a flurry of stabbing blades and gnashing fangs. And thus did the final surviving forces of the Imperial Guard, stationed to defend Coriolanus from the Great Devourer, fall to the swarm. In the following weeks, the biomatter of this world was melted down and consumed, sent back to the Hive Fleet to replenish the chittering masses and to prepare the Hive for their next attack.